Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a paranormal show like no other, and it's here in Northeast PA. Paranormal Science.
Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Science. I'm Stan Zurich.
I'm Joe Honk.
And I'm Ed Mac Daddy Mac Ray.
Oh, we're playing musical chairs tonight, Joe.
Well, we have to. You know, I was running a little late, my apologies. But Stan, you're taking the realm, and you're more than capable. I know you are.
You sure so, you don't want to switch back?
I'm positive. I'm positive.
Okay. Yeah, this is good. We're all here. And when Joe comes through the door, I was like, yes, the crew is in. With the exception of Mark. We missed
Mark.
We
have to fall back on him again here somewhere.
Bosco's like, guys, he goes to me, he goes, you're making the guys scared. He goes, you're
making the guys scared. Well, we miss you,
a tummy ache.
Oh, you guys got off, please.
There's something going wrong.
There is, I'm telling you. Maybe I didn't think I was going to make it, but I'm glad I'm here.
Good. It's like a paranormal
I'm glad
sickness.
You're here, too.
A paranormal sickness. Did you hear?
Okay. Hey, as long as we're all here, first thing I'd like to do is wish Jason and Michelle from the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Associations, or Investigations, excuse me, and congratulations. They just got married yesterday.
Yes, congratulations. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Hope they have a long and prosperous life together.
I don't know if they're around tonight to hear what we're congratulating, but they'll get the message.
That's all right. They've been on the show before. I'll tell you what, good people.
They're good people.
They are. And they're probably on a plane now.
And they're just at the Paracon.
Yes, they were. Yeah.
They did a nice job up there.
Oh, gosh, right.
Yeah.
Everybody had a great time up there. It was outstanding.
I'll tell you, I don't know if you saw Stan, which I'm sure you have, but it just keeps pouring in, the comments, the personal messages, the comments on Facebook. I mean, people are just loving it. And
all positive.
I'm happy, absolutely, and all positive.
And they're loading us up with pictures.
They are.
People keep pushing more pictures on us. And
that's right. Keep looking at those pictures, I'll tell you that.
Keep posting them,
whoever took them. You got them, you keep posting them.
That's right.
I got to say, that one on there of us three on the stage with Stella, that's got to be an awesome one.
Yeah,
there.
But how come I'm always looking down or I have a paper in my hand or something?
You are our intel guy, so you're reading something. Yeah.
You know what? A friend of mine, we call him, his nickname is Meet. He helped us out the Paracon, and he had called. I think he did it over the WhatsApp channel with us. But he's like, that picture looks like a comedy skit. And I looked at it. I'm like, my God, that's what I was thinking. I knew it looked like something. I just couldn't put words to it, but that's exactly what it looks
like. Yeah, we're the three stooges up there.
No, it does, because like, it's like rubbing his chin, like, looking at us. And,
I got my head down in a paper.
Exactly. And you're like kind of like squatting down, going with your hands.
Joe's just laughing there.
And Stella's just, of course, being her.
Yes, Stella's laughing, being herself.
It was good. That is a priceless photo of us. That is good.
You guys got to go on East Coast Paracon Facebook and check that out. It's an awesome pick.
Hey, Ed, what else do we got going on for Paracon?
Well, we got something coming up December 17th. It's our annual Christmas trip to the city.
Third annual.
Right.
Third time we're doing it.
Looking for the Christmas spirit.
This will be my third time to the city, thanks to East Coast Paracon.
All right.
I'll tell you, I always have a good time there. Always something different. Always something good to see.
It is.
And I just love the tree. Truly, I mean, depending on how cold it is at that point in time, I love to just kind of sit there and just take it in. Really, it does.
It's everything out there. At Christmas time, it's just a beautiful city.
We have a great time. You know, it's not investigative purposes. It's all for fun. Correct. We get together, you know, bring your family, friends. I mean, you can get the tickets at East Coast Paracon's website. And what are they selling them for this year?
$49
and a candy cane, maybe.
Maybe candy cane.
Maybe if everybody's good and Santa Claus comes down the bus road.
And if it's not going to be a candy cane, it might be a Lila's lolly.
Yes, yeah, and they are very delicious. They'll last the trip to and from.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Taste does not go away.
But, I mean, the trip will be great. It'll be with everybody. And, you know, East Coast Paracon will be there. The Hawk, the stand.
That's right.
And it's going to be good.
I'll be there. I'll be there this time.
Oh, yes. Last year, you were sick.
I couldn't make it. I was sick.
Yeah, Stan was.
We'll get that out of you now so you can make it.
Well, get sick now and
get it. Over with, get it behind
you. I don't want to be sick at all.
There you go.
That's true, too.
Yeah. That's funny. But I'll tell you, we kid joke about looking for the Christmas spirit just because that falls in the paranormal realm, but it's really not. Like you said, Ed, it's just to have a good time, family and friends.
It's more of a holiday trip out.
It is. And I'll tell you, and there's something for everybody. Even if you're not into the tree and the lighting and so on and so forth, it's just
to get there.
And plus, you know, you have great deals there, especially as closer you get to Christmas, the more the street vendors seem to work with you. So
down on Canal Street?
Yeah, that's true.
If you don't want to go shopping, there's so many other sites.
Oh, God, Times Square. Catch a movie. Catch a play, catch any. I mean, there's so many things to do.
The 9/11 Memorial.
I'll tell you, I might actually, depending on how much time we have, I might actually do that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Joe. I think I have to get there now. I have to get down there. I mean, we were down there, not this past trip, the trip before, and, you know, you were there. It's just so solemn, and it's moving.
I haven't seen it.
No. Oh, Stan, you got to. Three of us, we got to get down there this year.
The last time I was down there, I think it was still under construction.
It's just, you can feel that hollowed ground there. It's it's something you got to get there. We'll get down there this year, definitely.
Definitely.
Got to make a point to that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's just so much. You can't do it all in one day.
No.
But you can get a lot done.
You can.
I have fun. Like I've never been to the city. I wasn't a city person until the East Coast Paracon trips, and I look forward to it every Christmas. And, you know, Christmas is my favorite holiday.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
It's just, it's around that tree.
It's the only time of year that warms this chunk of coal I call a heart. No.
What I'd like to see, and I haven't seen in the last couple of years, like you see these pictures of carolers out there.
Yes.
Carolers.
Yep.
Out there. I've yet to see them, and I'd love to go out there and just see, you know, listen to them sing and sing.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know where to find them at.
If anybody knows, that's true, Stan, because I know they have a group that goes around that time. I don't know. That's something we could look into.
I wonder if they're around the Central Park area when it starts getting dark, or maybe around Radio City.
Years ago, speaking of Central Park, you just kind of sparked a memory. Years ago, I had to be in my late teens. I went to New York during Christmas time. I took a Central Park. I took a carriage ride, a buggy ride, whatever you want to call it. I'll tell you what. Awesome. There's just something breathtaking about that. Mm-hmm. It's to get on the carriage, you know, they throw the blanket over you and you go through and just to hear the horse's hooves and you know, a little bit of snow coming down. It is truly like almost like a Thomas Kincaid type, you know, like
you see the movies.
Set right back. Exactly. Right. You know, you sit back in the old Dickens times and it's just
enjoy
awesome.
Yourself. Yeah.
An awesome feeling. And I forgot all about it. When you said it, it just kind of sparked it. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
And you figure that light snow just adds to it. It does. Just coming down there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It does.
Ah. All right, so anybody that's interested in going on our bus trip,
East Coast Paracon's website and
www.eastcoastparacon.com.
Only $49 a ticket, which is
$49. Pick you up right here at the Pittston Commons.
Yep.
In front of Planet Fitness.
And
we'll drop you right off there when we come back.
Yep.
That's right.
Not in the cold, so we'll give you some time to get in your car. We're just not going to open the door. Yeah. No.
That's right.
A lot of people have gone, so we have the loyal patrons who are looking forward to it and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Tonight?
Stan, don't you have your book?
The book.
Right? You released your book.
I released the book. It was out last week.
I didn't even get a chance to read it or see it. I mean, I saw it, you know.
Nor have I.
Sporadically, you know, during the Paracon.
Suskin Screams Louder. It's out. You can get it at Duddy's Deli, Suskin Road, or Goomba's Pizza down on the Pittston Bypass. And I'm looking around for a couple other places to sell it right now. So hopefully it'll be out there.
Well, Kelly's been reading it, and it needs to be out there. More people need to read it. It's a good book.
She's going
to
probably bust me and edit the thing and say, look what you wrote here.
No. She's been enjoying it. She has been.
I'll tell you what, though, Stan. People were looking for this. I remember we even had calls in here, people asking, when are you going to do a second book? When are you going to do a second book? Here it is.
It's done. Suskin Screams Louder. Getting ready to start on the third, which won't be about Suskin.
And you know what? Just think in this small area here, Pittston Township and everything, how much paranormal stuff has been going on that people don't know. So when they read your book, you're bringing this knowledge to people, and they're like, wow, all this stuff just right here in our backyard.
Hometown man. lived there your whole life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In around there. And like, it just brings a personal touch to it. Mm-hmm. And plus, you live on the road you talk about.
That's it.
And now this just expands everything.
He lives on the road he's talking about.
I've grown up with all the tales.
Right?
So, I mean,
right?
Yeah. I mean, you're well-versed into it, and you're an investigator with the PPA. I mean, this is awesome.
Absolutely. I mean, this second book covers Suskin Road and a little bit outside. It'll cover music, and it'll cover, like, Jenkins Township, a little piece of that.
But, you know, it's a whole area where it's all coming together from back in the day. And, you know, it's good. Get it. Kelly's been enjoying reading it.
It's got a lot into it. Tells about the body dumps, a little more about that. And tells about things that go bump in the night. Does Bigfoot live here? Right?
Also, Dogman, possibly?
I know we talked about this a few years ago, that we did a walkthrough up there with a psychic. We were doing a little bit of we were trying to get a TV show together.
Yes.
And we had all the film crew out there and everything, and we're walking through with a psychic. And I think I mentioned this a couple of times on the air, that when a psychic stepped out of the car into my yard, the first thing she said to me was, "Leave this area."
Wow.
This is soiled soil.
That's a positive note.
Yeah, very pretty powerful, too, there.
But getting back to the book,
give us some excerpts out of that.
We walked around, and basically, the thing is, with a psychic, you either have to record or write everything down. And I wrote everything down, along with we had a recorder, but I wrote every single word verbatim down there, and I have it in the book.
Okay.
Now, if you read the story leading up to it, you'll understand a little bit more about it and after it. But if you just look at the notes in there that she wrote, they're kind of gibberish until you know the story behind them. Like August 4th, 2000, it starts off, I'll just read this. This is the what she said in her words, and there's no other words between it. August 4th, 2013. Mickey buried explosion. Donnie, American Indian. Then there's a house there. I'm not going to mention the name of the house or anything. It says witchcraft. Right? Suskin Vortex. Witchcraft again. Dumping ground. Donnie drumming in a band. Sin. Soldier activity within a few miles. Now that sounds like gibberish. Right?
Right. For someone that doesn't know. Now I know the story behind that because I was there with you, but it does.
Now part of it I'll go through was Donnie. There was a Donnie a few years ago that was fishing along the Susquehanna.
Mm-hmm.
He was taken from the Susquehanna. His truck was stolen and burned.
Oh, right. He I was remember murdered. That in the news.
They dumped him in Suskin, right? He was a drummer for the name of a band called Wicked Sin.
Wow.
And honestly, the psychic was nowhere from around here. So
she's from New York. New York City. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, it's an amazing thing. And even at the time, though, Stan, that we were listening to that, that honestly never dawned on. I mean, it didn't dawn on me anyway, and I knew the story.
Right.
So
you had to go back. Yeah. When I was looking at it, going over the notes, they said, wow.
It's just so sporadic, but but she was dead on. Yeah.
You know how that information comes into them. That's amazing.
And she mentioned explosion. Later on, she goes, couple of explosions, man with heart blown out of chest. That sounds kind of, But anybody who lives around here knows that there was explosions in Suskin.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Look at the dynamite plant.
The old powder mill.
Powder mill, right?
Right.
How about the vortex part right there, that vortex?
Well, that's like she said. She said, leave. It's bad ground.
Yeah.
You know what, though? You know, and people have to understand, although this sounds harsh, like you said, you know, things that come to her, but, you know, that's how the psychics work. They just get, it's almost, you know, some work with, like, flashcards. They'll get one word, or maybe they'll get, like, a little sentence, and they don't know what it's about, but they have to say exactly what comes out. And, of course, you know, Stan, even in his books and stuff, and I want to just make this apparently clear to everybody that's listening, you know, we always do this, and we say this stuff with the utmost respect we can. You know, it's no disrespect to anybody that has been lost or anything that happened or murdered or anything. Of course, our hearts go out to the families and that. It's just unfortunately a part of life that happens to interact with us a lot of times. So I know a lot of people get, you know, upset and offended and whatever, but you can. I mean, it's a part of life that happened. And Stan, knowing you on a personal level, of course, I know you mean no disrespect, but it's a part of history. And to have someone tap into that, that has that ability, it's just absolutely amazing.
It is. It's and I have no idea beforehand about anything.
Excuse me.
And just latch into it.
You know, it's even better. You two from the area. And when you're getting those excerpts and they're coming out in the words, the psychic doesn't know what they are, but you two could start putting two and two together, and you sit there in awe, like, where is this coming from?
Right.
Right.
It's amazing that they have no clue, but they throw it out, and you guys could put that puzzle together, and you're like, this is something amazing.
Well, and before somebody calls back or somebody says anything as far as, oh, you must have been feeding her information or telling her this.
No,
we don't say a word.
No, we never do.
We don't say a word.
And that's one thing, even with the PPA, and, you know, I give Mark credit for that. Like, he doesn't even give our psychics the address until I think like the day before or something like that. Just
you know, so they could get there.
Just says, hey, this is the area that we're going in. So that way they have an idea if they're going to travel, whether it's in PA or New York, or but never does he. So that way they really don't have time to do any type of research or anything
like
that.
There's no tainted investigation.
Right, exactly. Like
when Virginia comes in, that's her psychic we use from New York. Yep. She's on the road headed toward a destination, but doesn't have an address until she's almost here.
Yes.
Then she gets an address.
Right. Right. Mark will tell her general location to come to, and that's it.
That's
right.
It. Then she'll get the address where to come.
Even with Cheryl. I mean, and like I said, we utilize at that time. They don't get anything.
You know, it's amazing. So. They just sit there. We don't speak to them at all. We let them do their thing in their car, and they just start taking their notes. And then after the investigation, when they put it all together, it is watching the client's face. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It really is. I mean, I said before on the show, I'll say again, it's a gift. That's why I look at it.
And how many of them end up crying? You're standing there and tears are running down their face.
Yeah, they just melt.
Hey, like we spoke last, I believe it was last week, you know, just on a personal touch myself, you know, for crying, it's that emotion that you would never think that someone would know or understand that. When they tell you something so personal, it has to touch you because you're wondering, you know, they've never met most of us before in their lives, these people. We enter their homes, we enter their lives, they're looking for help. And then when a psychic touches like that, I mean, of course, that's raw emotion. I mean, to hear from your loved one or a little nickname they may have called you, which they called you when you were a kid and no one even knows, you know, it's just amazing how that how you feel when that happens to you.
That starts something inside you.
It does.
And for the biggest skeptic around, after they talk to somebody that is a true psychic, it's hard to
be a skeptic anymore.
Afterward, right.
It is. Like, I always called myself a skeptical believer until my dad passed. I've said that story many a time. Truly.
I mean,
truly.
What Virginia told me on that one investigation, my grandfather's coming through, I was like, there is nobody, unless you were in my immediate family, would know what she told me. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, my God. You know, and they do that in the most professional way. They are just very professional people helping people out there. I have to say that.
And the one thing she always says is whatever comes to her mind, she has to blurt it out, good or bad. Mm-hmm. They blurt it out.
Right, because they may not get that information again, or sometimes if they don't share it,
it's gone.
Right, exactly. And it goes. Yeah. And it's like anything else. They want to get that out there. What they said, whether it sounds harsh or maybe, you know, it's just one word and we don't even understand it at the time. How many times have they said one word to us or a little phrase and you're like, I have no clue. And the next thing you know, like a week later, it's like, oh, yeah, that's it. Because you have time to think about it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Put two and two together.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
Right. Some other things in the book. Okay, here's one. One local resident, while remodeling his home, started finding words written in the dust or sawdust on lumber that he had just removed from the house.
Right.
Now, it's not written in a pencil. It's not written in anything. It's actually something someone had, the dust he used from cutting the wood, wrote a word. And the words were Holy Top, Middle Birch, Roosevelt Down.
Now, what does that mean? Really, like, let's just take that for a
second. What would that mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's words the average person would think.
Right. Now, he had no idea what it was. He thought it was the kids in the neighborhood playing around.
Right.
And this was fresh sawdust that was
fresh
being
sawdust.
Written?
Fresh dust.
Wow.
Right? A couple of words are written in it. Talking to one of the neighbors up there, it turns out that when the person that built the house back then, in the early 1900s, early 1900s, I guess it would be.
Okay.
They used a lot of what they had to work with. Okay. There was an old school, Roosevelt School. Part of it, they tore down. His downstairs was made of the wood from the Roosevelt School.
Oh, so they recycled some of it.
Exactly.
All right.
He ran out of that wood. So they start using, there was a lot of birch on the property.
Huh.
So you use some of the birch wood.
They cut wood
and they made their own wood and used wood for the second part.
I'm actually getting chills. I didn't even know the story. That's awesome.
Bumps, too.
Now, where would you think the Holy Top came from?
Church.
There was a church. They tore the church down. That's what they used for the roof.
Like a cupola type thing or just.
Well, he didn't have a cupola on the house. Oh, but no,
I didn't know. Maybe he did. I don't even know what we're talking about. That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, that's amazing. That was just something written in the dust.
I literally got the chills on my back.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
This is all in the book. I mean, there's a little bit more details on it, but it's all in the book.
I'd love it. I'll tell you what, if I had the money, I would love to get an old church.
Yes.
And buy an old church and just, you know, respectfully restore it. Even if we turned it into like an ECPC headquarters or something like that.
That would be awesome.
You know what I mean? But of course, again, on the respectful side.
Yes.
But I would love to do something like that.
There's not many old churches around anymore. A lot of the newer ones are getting rid of.
Yeah, it's the unfortunate thing. It's, you know, but it's the time.
It is.
I don't want to, you know, this isn't the right venue for it, but, you know, I get emotional when I start talking about that. Yeah. Amen.
Another thing we have in the book. Do you remember a few months ago we had a guy by the name of Sean on who was the person that seen the Bigfoot and went to the game commission, and they basically laughed at him, told him he's a drunk.
Right. Yeah, we had him a guest on here.
He came back, explained the whole story. You have that in the book, his story. Plus, if I mentioned then, he had some pictures of the footprints that he's seen there. He actually took pictures, went back and got them.
Did you happen to get any pictures of that in your book?
I'm looking right at them.
Page
49 and page 50.
There you go.
Right in the book.
In case you people are wondering, you will see the evidence of the foot track in the woods.
Given to you by Sean himself.
This guy actually did see something back there. And he wasn't, I guess he was a little fearful of going back there. Wasn't like he refused to go back there or anything. Right. It was just the opposite.
He was determined to get a story out.
And I'll tell you, and not only that, I'll tell you what, you got to thank the people, and I know you did, Stan, but I'm saying, you have to thank the people from my end, from a consumer point of reading your book, or at least I'm going to. From a consumer's point, I appreciate Sean and everybody else that gave their pictures and their evidence and stuff like that to you to show us. Mm-hmm. So that, that's awesome to share that themselves.
That's powerful. They say a picture says 1,000 words.
Right. Well, once you see the picture, you'll see it's definitely a footprint. I wish at that time he had laid something down like a dollar bill or something next to it. But you can
just
still
for a little
see,
scale and context.
But
there.
You can still see by the size of the leaves around it in the footprint, it is a large footprint.
Awesome.
Two different pictures.
All right. Awesome.
All right. It's about that time that we take a break, and we'll be back.
Hey, it's Mark Hayes from Paranormal Science. Did you ever get that feeling like you have 1,000 demons tearing at your back? You know the pain. Are you uncomfortable in your own body, like you're possessed with somebody else's torment and suffering? You don't need an exorcist. You need chiropractics. Dedicated to providing the best chiropractic and rehabilitative care possible, Chiropractics will get you back into the body you remember. Chiropractics, 569 Pier Street, Kingston, PA. Check them out on the web, getchiropractics.com, T-I-X on the end, or call 570-288-5800 and get back to living.
Welcome back to Paranormal Science. We just left talking a little bit about the book, Suskin Screams Louder, and where you can get it. And before we get back to that and a couple other things, Joe, do you have something to say?
I do, actually. You know what? There's if you're interested in the paranormal and the supernatural, do something different for this Halloween. You have to learn the science and practices behind paranormal investigations at Lehigh Carbon Community College in Allentown, or at the Allentown site, October 21st. From 6:30 to 9:30, you participate in live investigation at the Miller Symphony Hall. Sorry about that. On October 28th, the ghost hunt will be led by lead investigators Mark Kies and Bob Schaefer from the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association, our very own Mark Kies. It costs $125 per person, and you can register by calling 610-799-1197. Again, it's 610-799-1197. For more information, you can call 610-799-1957 or email M. Kovalchik? M. Kovalchik at lccc.edu or look for our post on Paranormal Science web WLK Facebook page.
You okay there, Joe? Your stomach acted up a little bit?
Yeah, I'm all right. Sorry about that. It was a little bit of a pain there.
So, basically, if you want to get a little taste of what the paranormal investigation is, that'd be something to go to.
Well, worth it. It's right at the college.
Mark is going to be there.
And
Mark's good.
He'll lead people through. He taught me. Just as you guys did.
Mark's good. Mark knows his stuff. Absolutely.
He's going to lay the smack on some ghosts down there for people. That's what's going to happen.
Let's hopefully the ghost will be out and want to play.
That's right.
Yes.
Not always there.
So it's $125 and you can call those numbers and get
two weekends, right?
Yep. The 21st and the 28th.
Yes.
So you're going to get some training in there in 2 weekends.
We'll actually be away the 28th. Won't we?
We will be.
That's right. We're going down to Salem.
Going up to Salem.
Salem.
I always say down. If I go anywhere, it's always down. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're taking a trip. This isn't a East Coast Paracon sponsored trip. It's one of our own Let's Go For Fun trips.
Road trip.
Yeah, right. We actually took a break, and instead of hosting it, we're actually going on someone else's.
That's it. We're doing somebody else's trip.
But I've never been to Salem. I'm highly, highly excited to go there, especially during Halloween time.
Maybe if we scope it out, maybe next year we'll run a trip there.
Oh, that's
it. You don't get the feet wet. get a taste of what
it's like.
And, you know, get the wheels going.
I wish more of our listeners would call in or write us or even send us messages on Facebook or even if they text, talk in something. Let us know if they're interested in any type of trip so we could you know, basically scale it to that. You know, yeah. We just keep throwing trips out there that we know they like. But
well,
we know
we've got, let us know what they like.
That's what I mean.
We do our New York trip every year.
Right.
We're going to do generally two Gettysburg trips.
Gettysburg.
I can't wait to Gettysburg. Right.
We missed it this year, gentlemen. We need it back.
Yeah. We do. People were asking, actually, too.
You know, I think we need a road trip for that very shortly.
Yeah, right.
We'll get a taste of that again, too. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that our listeners would like us to do. And please bring the suggestions to us, and I'm sure Joe and Stan will get those stuff going there.
Go on our website. You can email us right from there, message us right from there. Go to Facebook and message us from there.
Right. I mean, it was great to hear at the Paracon. A lot of people were like, hey, I thought you guys were going to run a Gettysburg trip because, you know, we didn't get it this year, unfortunately.
Well, people look forward to that.
Right. So it was happy to hear, though, you know. But
people missed it.
Right. But don't wait for the Paracon to tell us. I mean, if you're listening, please. Even call in. Well, we'd love to talk to you. If you don't want to talk, you know, if you like to talk on the air, call us in. Let us know what you want.
Yeah. We're here.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's so many places out there that we can go to. We just have to know where the people want to go.
Right. Because some things that may interest us may not interest the populace. So whatever these guys are interested, you know, the men and women out there that listen to us, and I'd love to.
We want to cater to our listeners. We want to take care of them and give them what they want.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Absolutely.
A day trip to anywhere.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, the Gettysburg thing, let's face it, we were busy this year, guys. And
absolutely.
But you know what? If someone called in and said, hey, I'm sure we would have put our heads together and got something quick.
Well, actually, the issue with the Gettysburg was the buses.
We tried.
Yeah, we did try.
That was tough. Really we did try that one. That's right.
That's right. We did try. Yeah. But the unfortunately, just timing's everything. And we were a little off this year.
Coast Paracon Express was by a bus. Easier said than done.
Don't pump him up. He's been talking about that. By a bus. I know.
Hey.
Or a big limo and chauffeur everybody around.
You never know. You never know.
Yeah, we'll be able to go anywhere.
That's right.
On our time. But, you know, when you say Salem, I think of that movie from years ago in the 70s, I believe it was, with the vampires out there. And I don't know if you guys ever saw it. It was, I forget what it was on, but it was called Salem.
And I don't believe I've ever seen it.
The caretaker moved into this haunted mansion out there, and he brought, I used to call the guy, he's 7-footer. The vampire is like 7 foot tall. He's bald. And, it was good. You guys have to look at it. It's an older movie but that's what pops in my head because the spookiness of Salem.
Awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only thing I know about Salem is the witch hunts. They buried, they burned them. They buried them in stones and different things.
The witch trials.
You guys are going to get some information up there.
But other than that, I know nothing about it.
A lot of paranormal activities up there.
I'm excited.
I'm sure there is.
Excited to go.
The only thing I hear is commercialized and a little bit crowded, but we'll find out. That's like everywhere else that gets...
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Unfortunately, you know, even down Gettysburg, you have commercialism, but I think we could get away from it because Stacey Martin, the owner of Urban Post and Urban Essentials, her and her husband Dale are going down, so they've been there. They go almost every year, so they know the little ins and outs, and we may not as first-time tourists.
Right. Somebody knows the place.
So I'm happy to, you know, if we could hook up with them, maybe get some insider trading, if you will.
And you know what? If she has any of your products, be sure to pick up the Hawk Spray.
Thanks, Ed.
Essence of Hawk.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I just throwing it out there, Joe.
I appreciate that. I really do.
And she did a great job of making that up for you. It smells great. And, there's a lot of love put into that when she put that together for you.
I'll tell you what. All her, there was. And I'm honestly honored to have my name on that. But she came out with another one, too, is the chakra cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
And that smells good. A little bit of lemongrass in there. You can pick up on that real quick. But, I mean, all of her products are just awesome.
They are.
Awesome.
Now, at your house the other day, you were burning something.
Yes.
That smelled great, whatever that was.
Palo Santo.
A little piece of wood.
Right. Yes.
It's like you can use it in addition to or in substitute of sage. It does the same thing. Mm-hmm. You can clean, cleanse the area, stuff like that. I'll tell you what, I like it a little better. It is a solid piece of wood, so it doesn't give off as much smudging. You have to burn a little more and so on and so forth. But when you're smudging with it, it's a very sweet-smelling wood. And honestly, I the only thing I could say is like when you don't burn it, and you just smell the stick first before it ever burns. Mm-hmm. It kind of smells almost like a coconut cookie to me.
Yeah, it does. Got, yeah, right?
It almost has that coconut cookie smell.
See, I was getting more of a cedar when you let me smell that.
Oh, really?
I was getting like a cedar scent to it, and it smells great, even raw without being burnt.
Right. I can't quite describe the smell of when it's burnt. It's like cedar, but something else.
Right, because we were spraying it. Listen to me. We were burning it in the house, and Stanley came over and was like, what's that smell? And that was the Palo Santo. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a very clean, very natural sweet and cedar, like Stan said. It's awesome.
Yes.
It really is. I just love that smell. So she also sells those, actually, also. But it's great. It is.
Now, how do you use that? Now, do you take little pieces off and ignite them and let the...
No. I mean, I'm sure you can do that.
Yeah.
But the majority of the people, or how I learned to do it also, was you just take the stick itself, light it on fire, let it burn for a few, few seconds, whatever, till you get it. And then blow it out, and then it keeps smoldering, and you use that smoke to smudge and stuff like that.
Okay.
Okay, we got a caller just came in.
Yes, I love callers.
Yeah, we got Bob from Jim Thorpe.
Welcome, Bob.
Welcome, Bob.
Yeah, I'm not from Jim Thorpe.
Oh, it's this Bob.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, okay. How are you this evening?
Welcome to the program.
Welcome.
But since you mentioned Jim Thorpe, that's why I called.
Oh, okay.
That's what it says on my screen, Jim Thorpe.
The topic is the Jim Thorpe Jail, which is known to be haunted, no question about it,
right,
has ghost tours in October in honor of Halloween.
I just seen that in the news yesterday, I believe.
Really? Where? Channel 16?
Channel 16 had something on there about a ghost hunt. They were interviewing a lady from Jim Thorpe.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. It's the Saturdays, October 1st, 8th, and 15th, and there are tours starting at 6:15 every night, of those Saturdays, 6:15 every night, till 9. They run, the tour doesn't last 3 hours. It lasts, they run consecutive tours from 15 until 9, and it's probably too late to organize an official Pennsylvania Paranormal Association trip, although, maybe it isn't, but I do recommend it because I've been in the jail and I know it's haunted.
I was just going to ask you, if you've been there, did you see the handprint?
Yes. And
I've never been there.
Oh, you really have to go.
That's somewhere we have to go.
Yeah.
We do.
Road trip.
I haven't wanted to go there yet.
Road trip.
So I would definitely recommend, because they point out there are regular tours on Saturdays, but what you want to do is take the ghost tours, because then they point out all the haunted stuff that you don't, there's a blood stain on the floor that you don't even notice unless somebody says, look there's a blood stain on the floor.
Really?
Or it might be painted, but anyway, it has a significance to it. But yes, people have been pushed and shoved, and there's orb pictures by the dozens that people have taken, and so on and so on. Yeah, it's definitely haunted.
Yeah, that's not like somewhere the PPA should have to do an investigation, too.
Yeah, right?
Well, they do open, you talk to the owners, and they'll set up a private... if you want to do your own investigation as a group, they sometimes do that.
Mark, don't put your feelers out, Mark.
Yeah. So, and I can attest to the handprint is on the wall. There's no doubt about it. So, definitely. I would do it this month because it's yesterday, I guess it was, and the 8th and the 15th on Saturday nights.
Awesome.
Now, you've done this tour several times, right, Bob?
I've done the regular tour and this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have any experiences where you're in there besides the handprint?
Well, you kind of sense it. But see, here's the thing. My company, my grandparents were involved with the other side. In other words, the Molly Maguires were against my relatives. So when I'm in the jail, I just keep a low profile. I don't want the ghost to know.
You don't want to put that out there.
No, right.
good call, Bob. Good all call.
Right. Bob doesn't want anybody following him home.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good idea to do that.
I'll talk to you later.
Oh, thanks for calling, Bob.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. I hope you didn't think I was rushing when I said good call. I meant good call as in not to.
I always like when Bob calls in. He's
no, but
a great
I realized that. I hope you didn't think that because I was good call. In other words, good call not to say, hey, I'm the guy that you were going against with the Molly Maguires.
Well, I'm looking at the screen. It says the Bob.
The Bob.
And
yes.
I missed the part that said Wilkes-Barre because I got tied up. It said
Jim Thorpe. Yeah.
Jim Thorpe Jail.
But you know what? As soon as we heard his voice, we knew who
that
was.
Yeah, that's our regular. That's Bob.
That's a good thing.
And he was just a fair
good friend. Yes, he was.
He did his nice talk.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it. See, it never fails. I think I'm going to hire Bob on my own, just bring him to the house and have him do the... that's the point I'm at this. I'm just like, all right, that's it.
Bring some popcorn and that while I'll be hanging at the Hawks house. And
Well, did you notice, for me and you at the Paracon, we didn't get to do much.
Well, that's just it.
constantly moving.
That's just it, you know. And if I happen to stop for a few minutes, like at one point in time, someone, you know, then they're grabbing you, hey, come here, could you have it? Which I'm not upset about. I mean,
I love that.
I love interacting. But what it does for us is it kind of, you're right, Stan, it kind of dampens our ability to, you know, see the, you know, the speakers and see the different presentations and stuff.
Well, you're busy. But you guys are, you know, mixing with the crowd, mixing with the vendors, the guests and everything. And that's awesome because they come there for you guys and you guys are there for them. And
that's
it
right.
just worked out great. It was awesome.
That's what I mean. And I know we commented on this last week. That's what I want to do. I want to keep that personal, you know, that personal touch there. So I have no problem with that at all. I love talking to the people, you know, the vendors, you know, our patrons, everything. I loved it and met some great people.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Great people.
It's always a good time. I mean, the second time, the third one's coming up. I mean, we're in the planning stages of, you know, ECPC 17 already.
Right.
I mean, this is great.
It's just one ends, the other one starts right up.
And it's just going to get bigger and better every year.
Yeah, I hope so.
That's it.
It is.
I mean, positive energy there.
I have faith in it. I have faith in it.
So we got to do faith, keep it growing.
Yep.
That's right.
Keep adding more to it and keep it growing.
I mean, Mark had a good crowd at his table there.
He did.
Yep, Stan, you had people there at your books. I mean, it was just
at one point in time, I had to like call Stan. I was like, hey, there's people here over here looking for your book.
Well,
like,
I was in the other room and I kept somebody's calling me. I don't know how many calls
John Stanley,
come back.
Too.
Somebody wants to talk to you about your book. Somebody wants you to sign the book.
Yeah. Elmer never showed up.
Elmer was there walking around. Nobody noticed him.
Was he?
Yeah.
I didn't see him.
He didn't have his overalls on. That's what it was.
He was incognito. He was there. Uh-huh. He told me he's talked to a few people.
Maybe next year we'll have an Elmer booth. Like an Elmer.
That'll be awesome.
An Elmer signing from like 1 to 2 or something. Kids will be able to take pictures with Elmer.
Yeah. Oh, let's set that up.
I think we should.
But next year we're hoping to have that past life regression too for Stan.
Hopefully that'll be back.
Yeah,
hopefully.
You know, we had people wanting and wanting. Unfortunately, it didn't take place. But you know what? That makes me want to see it and hear it even more.
Absolutely.
Well,
you're the sacrificial lamb, Stan. You're not getting away from it.
We had mentioned we may do it live on the air, and maybe we'll save you for on the stage next year.
Oh,
I'm game. That would be.
We know this guy over here.
I would love to. They just can't. If she could, I would love to.
It's like that wall come up, and you just couldn't get through.
It.
I know it. I know it. It wasn't for lack of trying.
I would like to know why that wall came up.
Yeah, that's.
What's he hiding? Who was he?
It's not what he's hiding. It's who he really is.
Yeah. Right. That may come out. You never know. We may reveal that one day. We'll see.
Oh yeah. You know that's.
We'll see.
That'll be a treat, to say the least.
That's it. She almost had him. Almost, but the wall came up.
Yep.
That was it.
Yep.
He was done.
Literally. It literally, I don't want to forget it. It literally looked like an old screenplay when the curtain comes down and thump. That was it. Done.
It's an unusual feeling.
It is.
It is.
I mean, you know, and I know we're going back, but to hear that show again and how Stan was, I mean, it was an act. It was real. It was
in
the moment.
I'll tell you, I was sitting here, and to see, like, I don't want to say, like, the face changes, but you could see the emotion and the different
band.
The different emotion coming through. Yeah, literally, like, because, you know, y'all know we all have our certain, you know, the way we look, we talk, you know, little different ideations we do and you know, different, you know, twitches that we use in our face, how we express ourselves. But literally, even that changed when he was talking. And it's just,
I don't know. I was
different.
On the inside.
Yeah. I was on the inside.
Somebody else was piloting in the stand shell.
Insider point of view.
You know, that was good, though. I mean, hopefully we get that.
I've got to listen to that, but everybody says, don't listen to it. You'll be hypnotized again. And
you can't listen to the beginning.
Just not the beginning.
I'm going to skip the beginning. Just
we'll
fast
hold
forward.
Like our fingers in your ears so you can't hear it.
I'll play it, and then I'll let you listen to it afterwards.
You'd love to see me go under and not be able to come back. I'd be walking
around. Could you imagine,
around.
Lisa? Oh. What did you do to Stan?
Exactly.
He thinks he's an Indian.
Oh, God. Could you imagine that?
He won't come back.
Oh, no,
he's out in the woods with a bow.
That would be horrible. Yeah, right? Can you imagine that? Where's Stan? He'd be crawling around on his hands and knees. What are you doing, Stan? Looking. What?
Hunting.
Yeah, hunting, looking.
Oh, boy. That would be something that would happen to me.
Yeah.
You know what, Stan? Yeah, you're right. That would. So, you, definitely.
That's his luck.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, to get off on that, but you had a little research you did tonight, and, you know, I'm looking at it here and that. How about bringing us in on this here?
Well, you know, it's getting late, but, yeah, we can touch on it. I was going to save this for next week.
Well, just give us a little taste here.
You know, we were going to talk about some haunted place in Scranton, which we did, the Banshee, Andy Gavin's Pub, 1217 Marion Street, if anybody's aware of that. That was the haunted house.
It's right in our backyard here.
That was the haunted house that was for sale. The people put it up as a haunted house.
Oh, right.
I wonder if
it
ever sold.
I don't know.
We have to do some research.
Mm-hmm.
The Houdini Museum, right?
How was that? Did you guys get to visit that ever, the Houdini Museum?
I was there
I've
once
never been there.
When my kids were young. I think my daughter was Brownie and the Girl Scouts or...
How was it? Did you enjoy it?
They do a nice show.
Okay.
They have a lot of memorabilia. They have a lot of stuff from Houdini in there, right? Mm-hmm. And it's dark. And I can't say I've been there for any of the seances or anything. I've been there for the kid shows.
Right. Okay.
So
I've never been there at all.
No, myself never. Either. Mm-hmm. There was one when I was out in California a few years back, down in downtown Hollywood. They had a section of the one museum that was for Houdini and everything. But I didn't know we had one here in our backyard.
Right up here in Scranton. Yeah. Now, the one thing that I mentioned earlier, I was getting ready to write a third book, and I had some couple ideas. I mean, kicking
yes.
around.
All right.
I was going to write about haunted cemeteries. Yeah, they said, okay, so-so on that, right?
Okay.
Then I really got in my head, I wanted to write about haunted dormitories, local universities, haunted dormitories, right? And I may still very well write about that.
Excellent idea. Right?
You have some leads on that already?
Yes, I do.
That's
yes,
good.
I do. But when I was doing this investigation, I stumbled upon something else that I may write another one on.
Okay.
I never realized this, and I should have, and I never gave it much thought, but this area is loaded with coal mines.
Oh, yes. Gosh, yeah. They're everywhere. I mean, it was a mainstay of most of our ancestors.
And you can say haunted coal mines, right?
There has to be something that's gone down in there.
But the problem is, they were haunted when the coal miners were down there. There was mines they actually shut down because the coal miners refused to go back down in there because there was something in the mines that was chasing them out. They went so far as some of the mines, they shot at the thing. It was about 6 foot tall, white mist, had hands, a head, arms, just looked like a person.
Wow, that's...
And it was coming at them.
And this was in a mine there.
This was in a working mine back in the...
How many feet underground?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, did it just take over that? Or was that entity, if you want to say part of
remember,
that ground?
Right.
Back then, deaths in a mine were common.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, who knows? Some spirit may still be down there, may have died.
Look at the mules. They went down there and they never saw daylight again.
Right.
The mules lived and died down there.
Yep. Right. All right, it's time for our last break here, so we'll be back.
Elmer here. Was at the East Coast Paracon last week. Met a lot of nice people. Had a great time. There was a Native American fella there selling feathers, bows, and knives. And another lady there selling essential oils. She tried to spray me with something called Essence of Hawk. This stuff smelled good, not a bit like the Hawk I know. Went to see a psychic while I was there, and they told me I have a family waiting for me on the other side. I hope I make them wait a long time. Thanks to everyone who came out to make this such a success, and we'll see you next year.
Warning. This program may contain material that is controversial to some listeners. Spontaneous enlightenment may occur.
Welcome back. We left, we're talking about haunted mines.
Yeah, that intrigues me.
Yeah, very much so.
I mean, I just stumbled upon that. I never gave it any thought. And then when you do look back on it, you realize how many people in this area died in the mines.
Well, during the break, we were talking about that. And I said, you know, this is when I wish my mom and dad were still here. Because I remember my mom talking little things about that. Like, because one of my uncles, my Uncle Joe, actually had passed in the Knox Mine disaster. But I remember, like, hearing little tales like that when you were a kid. But then it just kind of went away. I never...
Yeah.
Shame on me. I never thought of re-asking about stuff like that.
Right.
You know? But, I wonder, you're saying, like, this white mist with hands and you know, coming... Mm-hmm. I wonder if it was, like you said, maybe someone lost down the mines
right.
at the time, or as Ed was saying, like did they awaken something down there? Was it something else? You know, and
yeah.
Well, I know the old miners used to talk about something called Tommy knockers,
right?
Where something would be down there, whether it was to frighten them out of the mine or protect them,
or warn them. Yeah,
warn them.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them believe that they would hear that before you know some of the wood starts splinting. Right,
they'd hear some kind of noise or get a warning to get out.
Yep.
Now, I remember hearing that from my older siblings and everything, like my grandfather and that, hear about the tommyknockers, but that still has got me intrigued with that mist with the big claws or hands or something like that. That's something.
Absolutely.
And I imagine when you're down in a mine, the only light you have around you is what's coming from your helmet or
your
lamp.
Lantern. Yeah.
And that's certainly it. Wasn't like today. I mean, you were burning those old oil kerosene lamps and stuff. I mean, my God.
I want to illuminate that small area.
Yeah, was it one candle power, if that?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you see a white thing coming at you or mist coming at you.
And it wasn't your buddy.
No, and it wasn't coming out of your light. Right? It was just illuminated coming at you.
Right, because it's so dark down there. Oh, wow.
You see something else.
How many feet down on the ground were they, too?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of those mines were very deep.
And there isn't a mine around here, I think, that somebody didn't get killed in.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, unfortunate that was part of the job. I mean, people died.
That was a hazardous occupation. It still is to this day, but back in the day, it was a lot different.
And even before child regulations, I mean, look at the old Breaker Boys and stuff like that. Where were they, 8 and 10 and 9? I mean,
you see the pictures of them and the historical pictures.
Right.
Well, you forget about, they say, okay, the Breaker Boys, they're 8, 10, and 9. They used to send young kids down in the mines. What do they call them, mule handlers or mule something?
Yeah.
They used to be one to stick the stick underneath the cart to slow it down.
Breaker Boys, right, yeah.
Not the Breaker Boy. This is a mule handler down in the mine.
That's all he did was regulate the speed on the donkey when he was pulling, or the mule.
Stick underneath, yeah.
Oh, really?
That was his job in the total darkness.
Wow, I didn't know that. I never heard that before.
They said a lot of those kids got killed because they're sitting in the dark.
Right. Yeah, yeah, sure. What did they
mean? Could you imagine that job?
Because they weren't, I hate to say it, but it wasn't. Time was money. Money was time. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, equipment was time also. So they probably didn't have an extra kerosene lamp to get these little kids.
True. Well,
you know? And they valued the mule more than they did the kids because they could replace the kid.
Right. Isn't that shit? Wow.
Isn't that something?
Just shows you how it was years ago. And it was, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you wonder how many, I mean, young kids are still wandering around down there, older people.
Wow. You know. I never looked at it like that, you know. And now the Breaker Boys, and they were, let's just face it, they were made to work to make the money because everybody in the family, you know, made money to get the family going.
For a quarter a week.
Right.
But and they were pushed.
Yeah.
That was a real pusher that was over them back then, if they want to call it that way.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's a shame.
It's a shame, but that it very well could be something down there. That may be one of my future books coming out.
That'd be good.
Awesome.
Haunted Mines.
I'll definitely be reading that.
I mean, I don't have to go farther. The Wilkes-Barre-Scranton area is loaded with them.
Right.
It's all this stuff local that, you know, it's happening around us, and thanks to Stan when he does these books, it's bringing it to light to a lot of people that, well, I mean, I'm oblivious to a lot of the stuff.
We talk about that all the time. You know, there's such local history that no one even realizes.
Yeah.
No one even realizes. I mean, not even paranormal, just history in general.
History that happened here, just, people don't. Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing that still gets me being into trains and that is when you tell me about when, you know, somebody would die on the train. You know, they couldn't back then take the body back to wherever they were from, and they'd be buried just in unmarked graves along the side of a railroad bed somewhere here in the woods.
Right. That's it. They're,
their family never sees them again. There's no grave marker for them to go to see the grave.
Nobody knows what happened to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
That's how it was, though.
Yeah, you wonder if some of those spirits are walking around, you know, some of the hard tops that are in the Suskin area now that were buried there.
Well, let's just, I mean,
looking to go home.
Let's go back to, you know, I mean, even, you know, on the old range days and even further back. I mean, when you were traveling, that was it. Like, they weren't taking your body anywhere. I mean, that was it. Well, you were traveling with your family, you know, mom, dad, baby died, whatever, God forbid. And
they had no way to take your body. I mean,
that was it.
It's hot, and it's, what are they going to do with you?
So you're, you know, you're three or four states away from where you planned on settling, and, you know, it's just an encampment. Mm-hmm. And that's where they left a lot of their loved ones, you know, at the encampment.
I mean, it wasn't like they had tombstones that you're lucky if they got your name scratched in a rock. Otherwise, you had a wooden cross.
Right.
So now your grave is forgotten, unfortunately.
You're just an unmarked grave somewhere.
Yeah. Absolutely. Kind of like living and dying was all you had to do.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, nobody pretty ever much, they had a heart back then. And that's,
you just became a memory, and that was it.
Yeah.
And
so you wonder, you know, and that's what another thing when people say, well, how could my brand new home be haunted? Because that ground has been there since the making of this rock in which we live.
That's right.
And let's face it, you don't exactly know all the history, especially if there's some questionable history when a house come down and somebody wants to sell that property.
That's right.
Well, yeah, the house be here was haunted, but I want, you know, X amount of thousand for that lot. Right. No, thank you. I'll be moving elsewhere.
Right. Not just that. I mean, look at the woods that are just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Animals, people, dying, hunters, whatever. Never found. Native Americans all over the place here. All right. Well, there's the music, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank everybody for listening again. My name is Joe Hawk.
I'm Stan Zirk.
And I'm Ed Mac Daddy Mac Ray.
Don't forget to keep the faith.
And sleep tight.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.